Our study is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 32, verses 17 through 32, God's judgment of proud Egypt's descent into Sheol. Sheol in the Old Testament is the place of the departed, unsaved dead. Scripture informs us that the souls of the deceased unsaved are permanently in a place of torment, separated by a great gulf from paradise, which is the permanent abode of blessing and of God for believers. We know that because of the teachings of Jesus in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Well, Ezekiel 32, 17 to 32 ventures poetically into a description of Sheol, the place of the departed unsaved dead, but it does not explain its torment, but it provides information on God's use of Sheol to humble the unsaved dead. One of the things that happens when unsaved people die, the place where they end up without any more pride. The pride is all gone because they recognize what's happened and they recognize it's a one-way street and it's very humbling. Well, we view the passage for our insight and instruction relative to our experience. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 17 to the end of the chapter. Came to pass also in the 12th year and the 15th day of the month that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and prophetically cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, that would be Sheol, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword, drawn her and all her multitude. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of Hades with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Asher, that would be Assyria, is there, and all her company. His graves are all around him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. Whose graves are set in the sides of the pit. Company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. There also is the Elam, and all of her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down, uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused the terror of the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They have set her bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about. And all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He is put in the midst of them that be slain. There also is Meshech and Tubal, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to the hell with their weapons of war. They have laid their swords under their heads. But their iniquity shall be upon their bones, though they were in terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Yea, thou, speaking of Egypt, shall be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, and thou shalt lie with them that are slain with the sword. There also is Edom, her kings and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit. There also be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Sidonians which are gone down with the slain. With their terror they are ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God, or saith Adonai Elohim. Okay, very important passage. The prophetic message of Ezekiel 32, 17 to 32 was given on March 17, 585 BC, 2 weeks after the previous prophetic message on Egypt's demise, indicating that Egypt's fall was so sure that even though it would not occur for another 17 years, even Egypt's descent into Sheol, the place of the souls of the departed unsaved dead, is predicted with no explanation on the torment of Sheol itself. It's not that Sheol at one time was not a place of torment. The focus that God has here is simply on one subject, the subject of the humiliation of Pharaoh as he goes down into the place of the departed dead. It's not talking about his torment. God then directed Ezekiel to wail over the multitude of Egypt and prophetically to send them down into Sheol along with other formerly majestic nations that had already gone there. You know, this is very interesting because Egyptian theology has two sides of it, the yin and the yang. One is that there's the rulership, the gods that rule during the daytime, but they believe that there are gods that rule in the evening in the netherworld, the underworld. But in this situation, Pharaoh is not going to have any power in the underworld. There's no glory. He's not a big shot in the underworld. He is humiliated. So this is a critique on Egyptian theology as well as on Egypt. Then, though Egypt consider herself unsurpassed in beauty, she would be assigned to Sheol and be laid to rest with other uncircumcised peoples there. That's what verse 19 says. And this event is further described in verses 20 through 30. When Egypt's multitudes would be slain and their souls descend into Sheol, they would rest beside mighty Assyrians who had spread terror all around them. The Assyrians all now lying slain and dead. Keep in mind that it was the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the only people group that had invaded Egypt and trashed its capital city of Thebes. And Pharaoh's going to see, wow, even the Assyrians are here. Egypt would find the mighty of the fierce nation of Elam. The Elamites were known for being very, very fierce, and they lived to the east, I believe, of Babylon. They would be there in Sheol, all of her soldiers in graves, though they too had spread terror to nations around them in the time of their time on earth. Meshech and Tubal, they were probably located in the northern fringe of what is now eastern and central Turkey, a people that had waged long war against Assyria for control of the area south of the Black Sea. Meshech and Tubal, once great, formidable, fierce soldiers, would be there, the graves of all their soldiers round about, the once terror-striking force now lying in Sheol in death. Ezekiel addressed Egypt in verse 28, claiming that along with these mighty nations of warriors, even Egypt's army would be likewise broken and lie among these uncircumcised armies in Sheol. Keep in mind that Egypt has been a very powerful nation. It has been around for thousands of years. The idea of Egypt and its power being completely broken is earth-shattering to other nations around. That's a big, big thing. It'd be like the eradication of Russia completely as a nation, or the eradication of the United States. It would be a worldwide shaking situation. Well, Edom's army would be there in Sheol with all her kings and princes, with their mighty warriors who had been slain by the sword lying among the uncircumcised and dead. The final group of mighty slain by the sword and shield would be the princes of the north and the Sidonians. These were likely Phoenician city-states of maritime powers who had suffered the same humiliating fate of being slain and disgraced despite the terror they had caused by their power while living on the earth. The Phoenician city-states, one would be Tyre, Sidon would be another one. The Phoenicians were known for being very powerful as far as their military, their navies were concerned. They were fierce, and even they were dead. So when Pharaoh would see all these mighty nations of warriors lying helplessly slain in death in Sheol, he would thereby gain some comfort over the slain of his own great multitude in Egypt. The only comfort he would have would be that he's not the only one there. Everybody else is there too. So God claimed, and this is the theme in verse 32, God claimed that he himself was the one who ultimately spread terror in the land of the living, as he was the one who sent people to Sheol. So God himself would cause Pharaoh and his army to be laid to rest among the uncircumcised. All these other former great terror-striking nations of warriors. It's interesting that the Lord states this. Let me just read that verse again, verse 32 of chapter 32. For I have caused my terror. It's not just the terrors of the Elamites and the Assyrians, Meshach and Tubal. I have caused my terror in the land of the living. And he, that's Pharaoh, shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with a sword. Even Pharaoh and all his multitudes, saith the Lord God. Big, 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 big lesson here. Through Ezekiel's lament for Pharaoh and his army's descent into Sheol, and through Pharaoh's witnessing all the other ones terrorizing armies of other nations that had subsequently been slain by others, into being humbled to lie in Sheol in defeat, God clarified that the proud, terror-striking parties are subject to him still. And he had the capacity to deal out justice to them, and if need be, send them to Sheol along with all the other great and terror-striking armies that had once proudly afflicted others. You know, I'm reminded at the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're coming back with him because the rapture has occurred before that. We're with the Lord and we come back. We're going to see this. He's going to speak the word, and with the word that comes out of his mouth, he's going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, 200 million men. Can you imagine that? 200 million. And the Bible says the blood will flow for 200 miles. It's going to be huge because of this, horses and everything. But he's going to do it just with his word. He's going to say the word. And that will happen. And we're going to see the power and the sovereignty of our Lord in action. So, may we not fear man who can destroy the body, but fear God who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. He said, fear not him who can destroy the body. I'll tell you who you should fear. Fear him who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. So, we need to keep that in mind. Accordingly, may we humbly revere God so as to obey his command to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation from sin and hell, unto gaining eternal life. We mention John 3:16 practically every Sunday. Acts 17:30 talks about God commands men everywhere to repent. I'm struck, always struck, every time I get into Revelation chapter 20, when God calls the unsaved dead up to meet him at his great white throne, it says heaven and earth pass away because there's no place found for them. So what happens? The universe goes away, and all that's left are the unsaved God, unsaved world, and God, and they're standing before God. There's no defense. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. And then they're going to give an account to God right there. And if their names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire. And guess who sits on the great white throne? Jesus Christ. The reason is God the Father has given all judgment into the hand of his Son. And rightfully so, because Jesus has already paid for the sins of the world on himself. Who better to judge the world than the one who's paid for the sins of everybody? And it's Jesus who's going to be sending people into the lake of fire. So, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, I would urge you, please, for your sake, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't put it off. Your heartbeat away from hell if you do. Number three, if we are tempted to be afraid of some person or people and thus to depart from obeying God to do that fear, may we recall that in the end God has complete jurisdiction over the eternal destiny of every person and thus abandon our fear of that party and revere God more than the party. Proverbs 29:25 is an interesting verse. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be set on high, set securely on high. So it's never worthwhile being afraid of somebody or terrorized by somebody. That's not good. And then number four, may we also be encouraged to serve the Lord, regardless of facing opposition from unsaved people. For God will judge all people in the end. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50, Jesus gave a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a fish net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. This is one of those drag nets that they would, in the Sea of Galilee, they would put out and they would gather the fish. It would all the way down to the bottom of the sea and bring it. Every fish would come up. They would gather the good and throw the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. See, the angels know who are believers and who aren't. And they shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus mentions that several times. In fact, none of the prophets spoke of hell more than Jesus Christ. He spoke of it more than anyone else. And he ought to know he's God. So, hell is a very real place. Our Puritan forefathers and the pastors who preached to the Puritan forefathers spoke of hell a lot more dramatically than we do. In fact, there are some evangelicals who kind of doubt that hell even exists because we've gotten away from speaking about hell. But I need to let you know, hell is a real place. And it's a one-way street. You never get a second. The Bible says in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. Not a second chance. It's a one-way street. So people need to make the decisions to believe in Christ now.